Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of my most favorite images of Christian hope in the Holy Scriptures is the vision of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. When he sees great multitudes from every tribe and nation on the face of the earth, every shade of skin color. And they are all arrayed in white robes, the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all their sin and makes them one. On All Saints' Day, there are processions of white-clad choirs and saints from every tribe and nation. And on that feast day, we hear those words of John's testimony, where the elder asks him, who are these in white robes and where did they come from? And John replies, sir, you know, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. That's what life in this world is, a great tribulation in which we struggle against the forces of darkness, against Satan's assaults upon us. Did God really say? A great tribulation in which Satan's objective is to destroy faith in the God of love, whose sacrifice makes of many people one, without class, without race, without distinction, one people. Whose hope is in the Word made flesh, and with whom in the Lord Jesus we are one forevermore. The great tribulation is the struggle with our own sin, the good that we would do that we fail to do, that which we would not do, which is the very thing that we do, the struggle to believe, to have peace in the midst of every assault upon our faith. The great tribulation of a world which is unhinged, where justice is turned upside down, where right is said to be wrong and bigoted, and where wrong is held up as right. Who are these in white robes and where do they come from? These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they ever before the Lord, and they sing his praises night and day. For there shall be no night there, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those are the dreams and the visions of Christian hope that are alluded to in the prophecy from Joel that Peter quotes on Pentecost. The reason Christian funerals are so joyous in the midst of tears of sorrow is because the procession has begun and another one has joined that royal procession to the throne of the Lamb. Because by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit, they have remain steadfast in Christ to the end. When I know death is drawing near, those in hospice care, those who are about to breathe their last, hear Jesus' words. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. They hear Jesus' words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They hear Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They hear Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. They hear Jesus' words, in this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. They hear Jesus' words, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They hear Jesus' words, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. They hear Jesus' words of unmerited, undeserved grace, full and complete forgiveness for an unworthy sinner. And by this word, the Holy Spirit keeps and preserves them and carries them from this great tribulation and veil of tears to the eternal joys of paradise. This is what Jesus is speaking about when he says to the disciples on Holy Thursday, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We love Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, for one singular reason. He loves us and has redeemed us from the rebellion of sin and death and Satan's power, from which we were powerless to set ourselves free. And he did this for me, and he did this for you, and he did this for every human being who has ever lived or whoever will live. If you love me, you will keep my word. To keep is to trust, to hold fast to. When you're stripped of every other thing upon which you might otherwise rely, it is to trust in him and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from him. Only the Holy Spirit can create such faith. And he does so because the Holy Spirit, whose outpouring we celebrate on Pentecost, takes everything that Jesus did and declares it to us, laying Christ upon our hearts. Today, we celebrate the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is called Parakletos, Helper in our New King James translation, Counselor, Comforter. Comfort is the Spirit's business. To comfort us in the midst of this great tribulation and through the things that we suffer, to increase his comfort so that we don't let go of Christ and his word. The creation of faith, that blessed hope of the resurrection and the glories of heaven and being gathered around the throne of the Lamb and singing his praises. In this life, the fruit of sacrificial love, of joy under the cross, of peace that transcends fear, long-suffering toward the struggling, the outcasts of society, kindness for those in need, goodness that gives of itself without counting the cost, considering the other greater than one's self, even as Jesus did in his death upon the cross. Faithfulness to Christ, gentleness and self-control. These are all the works of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul calls them the fruits of the Spirit. That is to say, this is what grows up from the word of the gospel that the Spirit proclaims to our broken and contrite hearts. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we, the Holy Trinity, will come to him and make our home with him. That is an incredible promise. This is why the Word of God is so important. The access to the Holy Spirit and fellowship with the Holy Trinity comes in no other way but through the Word. That's why keep is a faith word. To keep Christ's word, you might say, you could replace that with trust and love. If anyone loves me, he will love my word. If anyone trusts me, he will love my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. This is why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The essence of his work is to comfort us by Jesus' word. One of the things that makes Pentecost, unfortunately, for many, a lesser feast in the church year than Christmas or Easter, is because Christmas and Easter have things that are so easily seen with our eyes as the scriptures paint the picture of those great feast days. On Christmas, the Father gives his only begotten Son as the tender babe born of the Blessed Virgin, laid in the manger of Bethlehem. We see the shepherds come. The wise men worship him with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the angels of heaven, announced by the angel of the Lord, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We can see it, can't we? And our manger creches in front of our houses or in the church depict that so beautifully and visually. Good Friday and Easter come together as we see Jesus upon the cross and on Easter Sunday, the open tomb and Mary Magdalene embracing Jesus. Just like the words of the gospel say, if you love me, you will keep my words. For her to love him was to hold on to him and to not let go of him, because to let go of him, her Savior, would be to let go of forgiveness and eternal life and fellowship with God. But to hold fast to him was to know all of these things and to abide in the comfort of the gospel. But on Pentecost, we tend not to see the Spirit. I want you to see the Holy Spirit. Here in preaching and teaching, here in the baptism of adults and infants at the font who have been called to faith in Christ, to see the Spirit here giving you Christ's very body and blood. Dr. John Kleinig from Australia prefers not the phrase the means of grace, but the means of the Spirit. Here you can see the water and you can touch it. You can taste the bread and the wine and you ingest it. And you hear the words, "Peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven in confession and absolution." See the Spirit in these gifts. But also see the Spirit in every Christian who has ever been brought to repentance and faith in Christ. Not only all of the white European descendants gathered here in this room today, but in that man in the back with the dark skin, our brothers and sisters in Scandinavia with blonde hair and blue eyes, the people of Asia, China, India. This is where we see the Spirit. Like Jesus receiving the children to himself from every nation and from every color. And that great vision of worship around the throne of the Lamb that John beheld in the book of Revelation begins here as we from every tribe and nation gather as one people. The Tower of Babel is undone, and out of the many, one is made, the body of Christ, whose hope is in him. See the Spirit as we gather here and partake of the one loaf and of the one cup. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The greatest joy for the Christian is what we saw in Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday, embracing her Savior. And the second greatest joy flows from our faith in the word of the gospel of God's grace. It is to embrace one another. And every sinner who has been brought to faith in Christ and been baptized into Jesus and who wears the same white robe of righteousness that we wear. To know him is to see the Spirit and his work in the lives of a myriad of countless Christians the world over. Let us see the Spirit's work and not take it for granted. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.